Our scripture reading this evening is from 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 25. This is the word of the Lord. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. You may be seated. Our passage has one particular word repeated 9 times and one particular word repeated 5 times. 9 times the word wise or wisdom is cited. 5 times the word folly or foolish or foolishness is cited. The word for wisdom is Sophia. That's the Greek word. It's a great name if you've got a daughter on the way. Want her to be wise, obviously. It's a great name. It's where we get the word sophisticated from. The word for foolishness is Moria. It's where we get the word moron. Wouldn't recommend naming any child that. That's also why that's where we get the word sophomores. 10th graders are wise fools or wise morons. This passage is a contrast between wisdom and foolishness. But it's more than that. It's a contrast between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom, and God's foolishness and the world's foolishness. I'd like to look at just a couple of things. First, I'd like to talk about this day, Friday, what we call Good Friday. We call it Good Friday because it's the day that Jesus died on the cross. And that is a little oxymoronic. Because there's nothing good about the only innocent person ever being executed as if he's a criminal. But Good Friday is a day where we lay hold, wrap our arms around, examine our foolishness. Twice in this passage, Paul says, first in verse 18, he says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. And then, just a little bit further down, he says, in verse 21, he says, the folly of what we preach. And what is it we preach? Look in verse 23. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. What is Paul trying to teach us? Here, in essence, is what Paul is saying. There are many things upon which people are pinning their hopes. I read an article that someone predicted. Predictions are hilarious. There's a huge rabbit trail to go down there, but I'm not going to do it. Or someone predicted that we're 8 years away from immortality, that humans will live forever, and that we're going to discover that in 8 years. I don't know how you would even begin. But there are many things that upon which people are pinning their hopes. They're pinning their hopes on progress. They're pinning their hopes on education. They're pinning their hopes on human advancement. They're pinning their hopes on innovation. And in contrast to that, Paul says, God's people, Christ's people, we are pinning our hopes on what? On one man dying on a piece of wood, on a nondescript hill, in a nondescript part of the world. And we believe, what we confess to believe, is that the destiny of every human who has ever lived is determined and hinges upon this one moment. And to the world, that is utterly ridiculous. It is foolish. The world does not want that to be true. Part of us in our sinful hearts doesn't want it to be true. There is a man named Harry Markopoulos. And that's a great name if you're playing games in the pool in the summer. But he is important for another reason. In the late 90s and the early 2000s, Harry Markopoulos had a suspicion about something. He suspected that there was a crime being committed, a financial crime. And he kept writing to the Securities and Exchange Commission, the less fun SEC. And he kept telling them three times, in fact, in 2000, in 2003, in 2005, there's something wrong here. Much money is being stolen. Billions of dollars is being stolen. And it was ignored. He was a forensic accountant. He was an amazing mathematician. And he got other mathematicians to look at what he was looking at and examine it. And they agreed with him that something didn't add up. And yet, no one really wanted it to be true. No one wanted to believe that one of the most important people on Wall Street, a guy named Bernie Madoff, was running a Ponzi scheme. Harry Markopoulos knew that he was. He had done the math. But everyone dismissed him as foolish. Not because the math was wrong, because they just didn't want to believe that to be true. Because if that was true, then there's all kinds of other lies that they could also be believing. And do you not see that is how we are? That outside of God's regeneration of our hearts, that we don't want this to be true. It wipes away our pride and our achievements and our self-righteousness. It destroys them. If the only thing that really matters is this one man being killed on this piece of wood on a nondescript hill in a nondescript part of the world, then much of our striving, much of our time has been spent in foolishness. Now, that's Friday, and that's foolishness, but this service of Tenebrae, is a service about focus. You see, we know what's going to happen on Sunday. Everybody's going to look nice. There's going to be lilies everywhere across. Some of us are going to wake up early and come to a sunrise service. Some of us will even do both. We're going to take pictures out by the cross. We're going to go to lunch with our families. It's going to be pastels and whites. And that's all well and good. Because on Sunday, we celebrate Christ's victory over the grave. It is the down payment, the first fruits, as the scripture calls it, of the resurrection that is our hope. That when we die, that is not the end for us, but in Christ that we will be raised. But it's not Sunday yet. Today is Friday. This is a strange service. It's always a strange service for me. College kids will come home who've been in the youth group and I don't even say hello to them because we leave in silence. We have these long readings that are sad and hard to think about. The room gets darker. Why do we do that? It's because tonight, what this service is about is us as God's people taking a long and unflinching look at the darkness that preceded the dawn. Tonight, we're going to estimate the incalculable cost of our own redemption. At most of the services at this church, we want you to walk away with a sense of joy and relief in the redemption that has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. But it's just oh so slightly different tonight. Tonight, we want to walk away in somber contemplation of the wondrous love of a Father and the great cost at which He ransomed us. Amen. Let's